Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few minutes of inspiration and loving conversation with C. Melita Webb. Today, I'm back to give you part two of the mother's raw emotions. And I have to tell you that I'm not apologizing for telling you my life. I'm not apologizing for the skin I'm in or walking in the life that God has given me. You know, on my journey, I've learned a lot of things, some good, some bad, things I wouldn't repeat, and things I share so that others don't have to repeat. And I live each day in the grace I believe that God gives me, meaning that while there are things in my past that I'm not proud of, I understand that they are what combined to make me me. And for that reason, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful because I have a life. And my life may not look like anyone else's life. It may not be a life that anyone else understands or even reflects on, respects. And you know what? None of that matters. See, the problem that we have in America is that we are so busy trying to live in what has become comfortable for other people. So people have been told to be quiet, you know, to be seen and not heard, to not be true to your emotions. And what we've done is we've created a society of people who don't know how to communicate or to share or to love each other. And so when you break down those basic human rights of admitting your feelings, sharing your emotions, and loving each other, people's minds get tired, they get twisted, and they start to scream. And not everybody is able to control that scream in the same way. And so you have people who can't function and they lose the ability to work. Some of them, you know, end up in mental hospitals or they end up on the fringe of society where they don't quite fit in to our beautiful painted faux reality. And so that doesn't help anyone out. And instead of us trying to figure out how to help these people, reunite them with their families, teach them holistic ways to live and survive, we inject them with stuff that's been proven to make them more acceptable. We give them pills to make them happy. We lock them up when that doesn't work and they are a danger to themselves. But often we miss the ones who are a danger to society. And so, you know, what we're seeing highlighted is these effects have trickled down. They've been shared from generation to generation, and people who were hurting and needed to heal never got that healing. And so those patterns became the norm and the expectation. And then you saw it, you know, maybe in someone else in your community, and you thought, oh, this is normal, right? And so you don't have the basic understanding of what really is a quality life, but you don't realize it because That's what you've seen. It's all that you know, right? And so you have generations of people who are struggling. They're living in poverty. They're, you know, they're in the lower income level. Some of them are struggling and they're in the middle income level. And you have some who have come from families who have never been to college. They don't even know how to get in to the door. And then you have the people on the outside who are enjoying seeing these people struggle. So I'm just going to speak it to what it is, right? Because truth must come to light. We have become comfortable with the fact that other people are doing worse than we are. And I'm not saying me, but I'm saying there are people in the society and there are elements in the society that want to have the underclass. And they figure somebody needs to be there because somebody's got to handle their laundry. Somebody's got to clean their car and somebody's got to take care of their kids. And as long as it's not them or their children, they're all right with that. But you have to realize that you have people who know that they are human, no matter how you look at them when you see them. And they haven't been pushed so hard yet by society that they have lost their humanity. And so they are learning what they need to do so that they can become stronger and they can, you know, change their narrative and they can lift up the next generation. So if even if they didn't get the education, they are working so that their children can do better. And so you've got a generation that now has access to television and they can see what they think is reality, right? So you've got the Messy Housewives, and I'm sorry, I don't know who they are, which states are they coming from and all that. I don't know. But you got that. And so people are going, oh man, I want to live like that. I want to be filthy rich. I want to have everything that is a bling. And so they miss that there's something in the middle. There's something in the middle that is the good quality life where your business isn't on Main Street, where you're not in part of the reality shows, right? But they don't know that. And so we're not educating people to understand life. And so every chance I get, every time Spirit speaks in my heart, I am writing so that I can leave this information for the next generation. No one should be still struggling the way that so many people are struggling, but they fall through the cracks of a broken nation. And these people don't have to be left outside. And so with this virus, we are now seeing that we have always had the ability in these communities to house these people, to offer free education, to put them into motels, to, you know, to say, hey, let us help you. Let us give you some medical care. Let us, you know, do these things. And realistically, I've always known in my heart and my spirit that we could do it. There's no reason for people to still be, you know, hungry and starving, neglected, and thrown away. And that's what we've done. We've thrown away aspects of our society. So as I was listening to the trial and I was reflecting on the pictures that I had seen, it just kind of like, I reached this point and my soul said, break free. My soul said, stop apologizing for being in your skin. And realize that if you're not saying what you need to say, you're not helping those who don't have the words. And if I don't help the people who need it most, then why am I here? See, I believe that every tear has a reason and a deeper meaning. And I believe that when we take the time and we find out the why, that we can have a better life. And so I've been reading all these books, and I don't just like read through them like fire. I read, I sit, I listen, I pause the tape, and I say, okay, how does that fit me, or how does that help me be a better person? And so yesterday, when I quote unquote dropped the mic, I dropped it for everyone who is willing to listen. My tears aren't from weakness. They're not because I'm lost and I don't know where I want to be. My tears are because I'm seeing us destroy a society. You know, and I don't get to see what's on TV, and I hear people telling me, and I'm like, are you for real? That mess is on TV? You know, back when I was a kid, we wasn't seeing what they are throwing out there and they're putting into people's mentality. We didn't see naked bodies. We didn't see naked bottoms. We didn't see, you know, couples making out to the extent that I'm told that they're making out on national TV. And I'm sitting there going, why don't we realize what we're doing? You're taking away children's innocence. You're not giving them a chance to grow up and to see who they are. And so the children are confused, and the parents don't know how to reach them because the parents are trying to work, or they're trying to figure out how to pay their mortgage because they can't work because of what's going on in the society right now. So all of these emotions were just running through my veins when I was listening to this trial, and I was triggered in a way that woke me up. And it's not the first time I have been shaken by my core. It's not the first time that life has slapped me in my face and said, live in reality. So when I gave you those words yesterday, I gave you my soul. I told you the truth. I told you what I have heard, what I have seen, what I have researched, and what I have learned. Because that's what we have to do for each other. We have to have those complicated conversations. We have to have the enlightening breakthrough moments and say, my goodness, I now understand. Let me share. See, I don't care if you're worth $1 million and you can make $1 million an hour. That doesn't faze me. I want to know if you're feeding the person on the corner, if you're offering somebody a job who's asking and begging you for a chance at life. I want to know if when you see a mother crying, if you stop and ask yourself what's going on. Because if you're not caring about other people's lives, why are you here? What is your purpose? Because it can't just be, you know, grabbing up dollars that you see in society, right? I mean, you can have $1 billion and you can't spend it in a lifetime. So does it because you want to keep up or outdo the Joneses? I can't go for the celebrities who don't want to make a difference or don't think they got to make a difference. Now, I'm not saying that I have a right to their money, and I realistically, I don't need their money. But there are people in these communities who are hurting. And there are people who do things that we never hear about. You know, and they come out just a little bit, you know, later. And I go, man, I'm so happy to hear that that person built that hospital for those vets. Wow, I never knew that that person paid for this person's mortgage until the end of their life. Are you serious? This person was doing what? See, those are the ones we need to embrace in the community. And some of them want to be nameless, and I'm cool with that. What I'm not cool with is us putting people down because they don't look like us, they don't have what we have, or they don't know how to get up and, as people like to say, pull themselves up by the bootstrap. And see, you know, when I talk to you, it has to be where we're both being educated. you haven't lived my life. I haven't lived your life, but I can tell you something that might help you. You can tell me something that might help me. And that is the basis of a good society. And so when I put this information out there to you, I'm not trying to shame nobody. I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable, because my hand is out there. I'm willing to meet you where you're at and help the people in our community. I'm willing to help you if you got a school and you're trying to change what you're doing for the kids. I'm willing to help you if you just want to ask a question, if you're having some issues and you just say, I need someone to listen. If you're a good person and you're doing good things, I'm willing to help you. And so when I was telling you that that person that sits next to you on the bus or rides with you on the train or bags your groceries at the grocery stores or they hand you your laundry, they're human. They have a right to live, to breathe, to see, to speak, to walk. And to just be. Just like you and just like me. I don't care what their color of their skin is. I don't care how they were brought up. What I care about is that they are not being mistreated. And this goes much deeper than a police killing. Because we're killing each other in the streets. People are killing their own, their children, their parents, not just the gangbangers, right? These are people we thought were upstanding people in the community. And I understand that sometimes people have been knocked upside the head and they've been dragged down and they don't have their right minds, right? But if somebody has alerted you that somebody is doing certain things in their house, they've been making pipe bombs, or, you know, they're buying these type of materials that we know are dangerous, why are we not going into those houses and doing the investigations? And if you talk to somebody at the door and you think that they're okay, and you walk away and you don't follow up, you know, come on. That's a problem for me. You know? I remember hearing how somebody went somewhere and they were just doing an investigation and they started hearing something in the walls and realized these people had children hidden in the walls, right? Were they, and I'm sitting here going, you know, we got people in our country and probably in other nations who are not sensible. They done lost whatever senses they were born with. And I'm not blaming nobody who is fighting a battle with their mental health, or they are lost. They don't know what else to do because they can't figure out what they need to do. But I'm telling you, if you have a child you can't take care of, get them to somebody who can. If you're feeling overwhelmed and you don't know what you're going to do next, find someone who is willing to help you and save your children. And when I tell you as a mother and I see these children being snuffed out like a candle, like an old match or used up cigarette, right? That is starting to hurt in a different way. You know, we as a country are hurting and we're mourning and we're not saying it enough. We're not hearing each other. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Because if I can't make a difference, it doesn't make any sense for me to keep talking or to keep writing or to keep publishing a book. Because I'm doing that because I love you and I love me and I love the people I will never meet, because they are humanity. They are all a part of our global humanity. No one is better than anyone else. No one. If I make a mistake, you tell me. I love constructive information. I I enjoy it because I love to do better. So if someone sees you and you make a mistake, look at it. Is there something you can do about it? Can you be better? Can you take something from it and make your life better? Because when we do that, then when we walk up to people who say, I can't breathe, I'm claustrophobic, we can step back and say, okay, well, let's see how we can get this done. Because, you know, there are good police officers out there. I have met some. I have seen some police officers who you knew were born to protect and serve. The kind of people that you were proud to have in your community. And not just officer friendly or officer cookie that went to the schools, right? Because we need more than that. We need people in the community every day, willing to make a difference, willing to be the change that we need, willing to show other young kids what they can do next. And not for a photo op or a TikTok or some other viral video, right? We just need people who care, who genuinely care and who want to make a difference and see people be able to improve. And so, you know, however you feel about this trial, that's on you. But what you do because of the trial is even more important. If you have a voice, use it. If you have a platform, use it. If you can write, write. If you can speak, go speak. If you can make a difference anywhere within your reach, do it. And understand that this mama is tired. I'm tired for me. I'm tired for you. I'm tired for your children and the next generation of children. And so, do something different to make a difference. Create something that lives longer than life. Build something that will be here for generations after you're gone. Let the people know who's producing whatever shows these are that are showing neck and bodies that you don't appreciate it. You know, I remember when I was a kid that stuff just wasn't fair, right? And when I raised my kids, I did the best I could to give them what I thought was a solid foundation. And I understand that parents, before all this stuff was going on, had to go to work and they couldn't always see what their children were watching. But that kind of stuff, you know, as it eased into society, they would do it like at late at night or certain channels. They had Cinemax and I don't know what those channels are. They had these other channels where you had to actually pay to see these shows and have them in your house. And you know what happens is that if you're a good parent and you're raising your child well and your kids go to somebody else's house, you know, you don't know what their parents are actually doing. Me, I like to go visit them people before my kids go. When my children were younger, I'd like to go see where you're going to be. And if I couldn't go, I got them on the phone. Hi. Yes, this is so-and-so's mom. I was just wondering, they want to come visit you. Are you going to be there? Okay. And what's going to go on? And how long are you expecting the kids to be there? Okay, well, do I need to bring anything for my child? You see what I'm saying? I didn't just say, okay, go ahead and go see Joe over there. No. Mm-mm. And if Joe came to my house, I would say, hey, how you doing? Who's your mom? I probably know him. And I'm looking at him. I'm checking him out because I want to know who's there. We can't afford to pretend that the fall of society is okay. And the interesting thing is, we've seen society's fall. We know what happens. You go back and you look and you see the big, you know, societies we learned about in school. When they stopped caring and people started doing any and everything and they got lackadaisical about life, they're no longer here. And so while I'm not a fortune teller or any of that kind of thing, I'm just telling you that what you think you're seeing that's bad now, if we don't sound the alarm louder, it's going to get much more difficult than what we even see right now. It's bigger than a gun law. It's bigger than what people are saying, reform the police. It's bigger than all of that. But if you get stuck in what the news is feeding you, you'll never see it. If you get stuck behind a narrative, I was listening to an article where people were talking about how their parents had fallen behind these different things that I don't even know anything really about to speak on. These different new outside organizations, and people were saying, that's not even my mother anymore. I don't know who that person is. I can't have a conversation with them because they've fallen into all these conspiracy theories, right? People are going to continue doing that. And so when I tell you that all of these emotions have been just building up in me like a volcano, and when that last baby was taken out of here the other night, my soul said, wake up. You got to wake up. It's time to move. And so I need you to look in your soul and to find out if it's also time for you to move. Because I think it is. Don't, patronize those shows that are feeding this false narrative of what people need to aspire to have to be happy. Train your children in the ways that we were trained that made us the good people that we are. And think about it. One more thing. I was looking at how people keep complaining about people in society that they feel that are on the lower echelon. And as I sit and I thought about that, I was like, okay, if I'm born in 1966, and my father was born in 1926, and his father was born in 1897, and his father was born in 1844, that means I'm like four or five generations from slavery, right? So how do you build up billions and billions of dollars when you're just four generations away? So I know that while my father didn't technically be a slave, and his father wasn't technically a slave, and his father before him, yeah, he was definitely a slave. You get what I'm saying? And so they went from slavery to sharecropping to Jim Crow, to fighting for civil rights, to, what's that drug when they did money for drugs? I forgot what that one was. But when you look at somebody who doesn't look like you, you don't know their struggle. When we don't teach our children about the generations before them, then they wonder, why don't we have what their friends have who don't look like them? See, people were taking out insurance policies on people that look like me, so that when they weren't here anymore, their families got paid and they had this nice little chunk of change. And then, if that wasn't just all, they actually went and they could mortgage us to the bank. And so they were able to buy a bigger farm. You hear what I'm saying? Then they were able to take these children from their mothers and they would sell them for a couple bushels of corn. Yeah, I'm going there because that's where it is. Think. Don't just buy the narrative they taught you in school because it ain't real. Go back and look. And I'm not one of those people who sit there and say, it's because of the man in charge. I'm not that person. But I am saying it's because of the facts of reality that I may not have what you think I should have because I don't look like you and I didn't come from what you came from. And don't think that some of y'all out there ain't hiding, because a lot of folks is passing. And you don't want to know that you got people like me in your family. You don't want to know that you got people who said they were Italian or Portuguese, but they really was African American. They might have been a fourth or an eighth. But they couldn't say, because if they had said, they wouldn't have been able to take care of their family. They wouldn't have been accepted by the society. They couldn't have built where they are now. So if you're not scared, go do your DNA and find out for real. You might just be surprised, because you might be my fourth or fifth cousin. That's it. So I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a blessed evening of peace. I'm not going to say that this conversation's over, because I know that if spirit hits me and there's some knowledge you need to know, I'm dropping it. All right? I'm going to wish you a blessed day and a happy life, because everybody deserves both. Goodbye.